good in business to such a degree, if he buy even the dirt, he will be making money in it. You see, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. And this also shows you that how a person should be kind by trying to reward the people when they do good for him, and the minimum that you make dua for them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made dua for this sahabi. Also that here, that was no any set limit for the Prophet, okay? And he acted in his own, and what he's supposed to buy for one, he bought two for one, he sold one, okay, and he came back with the dinar, and so that means there is no set limit how much he's supposed to make a profit on whatever product that you bought. Because that means when he bought two for dinar, that means each one cost one dinar, or half dinar. Okay, but he went and he was double his profit. Okay? So again, we have to understand, as long as there is somebody else selling the same items, and there is no necessity in the people's life, you can boost your profit to whatever you want, it's up to you. Okay? So it's not a set for the amount of profit, is according how much the people need or they want or whatever. The next hadith, hadith number 687, the hadith weak, we're going to leave it alone. And after this hadith number 688, the hadith is mawquf, okay? So it's not been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the correct one and the authentic one, which is mawquf, that the Sahabi telling us that not to buy fish in the water, okay, because it's a form of deceiving. Okay, you don't. I sell you 100 fish. I sell you 100 fish from this lake, okay? Which fish? Small, big, okay? How much will take you to get them? And what kind? All the things. And properly, you're going to be able to catch them or not to catch them. So there is a deceiving involved here, so you could not do this, okay? If it's fish inside water, in a limited quantity, like tank, as example, okay, that you can take the whole tank, or that you can actually get it, it's not going to be running all over the place, like scooping it, or taking it, there's no other place for them to go. This is so that you see the fish in front of you, and you can have the position over it, but fish in the lake like this, or in the ocean, it's too much to be telling this, okay? Yeah. The next hadith also is the mawquf from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade to la yuba' suf ala zahar, swelling a fruit till become ripe, or swelling fur which is still on the back of the animal, okay, and selling milk in the breast, because how much milk, okay, is it, because the milk is supposed to be measured, but you don't know what is this in the breast, how much it is it one measure, two measurements, or whatever it is, the fur now still in the back of the animal. Now when you go to cut it, maybe you cut it closer to the skin or closer to the top, so you are not getting the skin. You don't know how much amount you're getting, you see? So all the things that have some kind of deceiving or some kind of not certain or not clear to the buyer, okay, is not supposed to be done, because it's going to bring about again confusion and hatred in the Muslims' heart to each other, and even if they do it, it still is not permissible to be done. The next hadith, which hadith number 690, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam نهى عن بيع المضامين والملاقيح. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbade the sale of what is in the womb of a domestic animal or semen that is in the body of a stallion. Okay, and we talk about one hadith which is similar to this before. This hadith is authentic. Okay, so now again, if I'm telling you what's in the stomach of the cow, what about if it didn't come out? If it's dead? If it comes, I understand, was defect in it. When it's going to come? In a month or two? All these things is not known. So you could not tell what's in the stomach of the camel or the cow, whatever, the baby. Will the baby come and after this you tell it? This is one thing. The second thing also, the solution or the semen of the bull or the horse or the male members of the animal, okay? Because this is not permissible in Islam. And if the people want to borrow the camel, the male camel or the male cow or whatever it is, this is to be some kind of like you call neighborly deed or kind act to be done among each other with no any charge of it. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 691, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أقال مسلما بيعته أقال الله عسرته. Again, with all this kind of transaction, it may be something defect, maybe something that you don't know about it as a seller, or maybe you understand was not in the thing when you sold it, whatever it is, or that everything was fine, there is no defect in it, but the person the next day after he bought it, he felt bad, or he could not really, he found himself in difficulty, okay? So he comes back to you as a seller, okay? The buyer comes back to the seller and asking him to take back his product and give him his money. The seller is not required, or he's not obligated to do so, okay? Because the deal has been done, he transferred the product, he received his cash, and they depart, and both of them would deal with the transaction, and they depart from the place, so this now is done deal. When you come tomorrow, I'm not obligated to take it, regardless whatever it is, they understand, but it's still Islam also try to keep this brotherhood always, and forgiveness and consideration and or whatever reason that the person felt that he won't take the brother back. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging us to do so, and he said, whosoever accepts back what he has sold to his Muslim brother, Allah will forgive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his soul in the day of resurrection. So by accepting your Muslim brother and his needs or his wants, or he feeling bad about this transaction, by doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do something similar to you in the day of judgment, okay, in a higher scale, and this that Allah will accept your fault, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive your sins, inshallah, and Allah knows this, and beg Allah's forgiveness, and for any mistakes that I made in this class. And inshallah, we're going to say something. Inshallah, if there is any question, please keep it for next class, because I'm a little bit exhausted. I would like to go rest. Jazakumullah khair. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. الحمد لله احمده واستعينه واستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجبين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust to Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. For Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The words of all affairs of innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Inshallah, today we're continuing our classes concerning شرح كتاب بلوغ المرام من أدلة الأحكام للحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله. It's a continuation for our classes from the book The Attainment of the Objective by الحافظ الإمام ابن حجر العسقلاني. And for the last four classes we've been dealing with the book of transactions. And last week we had finished the chapter concerning the condition of business transactions and those which are forbidden. And today, inshallah, we're supposed to start a new chapter under the same book, the book of transactions. Last week, we had finished up to hadith number 691. And before I start my class today, I had mentioned last week about one hadith that I was not able to classify to be authentic or hasan, good or weak. And alhamdulillah, today I'm able to give you some information about hadith number 286. 684. This is page number 286. The hadith was concerning a person who will hold the grapes. He doesn't sell his brother. Hadith number 684, page number 286. Hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Buraida. عن أبيه رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حبس العنب أيام القصاص حتى يبيعه ممن يتخذه خمرا تقحم النار على بصيرة. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم supposed to be saying whosoever hoards grapes in the vintage season, then he tells them to those who get wine out of them, he has hastily thrown himself into hellfire with clear knowledge. This hadith find it to be weak. The hadith is weak. Da'if. Although, as I said last week, that the meaning of the hadith is correct, but nevertheless the chain of the hadith is weak. So if somebody who holds the grape for such a purpose to sell it to somebody while he knew that he's selling it for him and the buyer is buying it for him so he can make wine out of it, he had indeed indulged in haram. His transaction is un-Islamic. It's forbidden. And this will relate to anything that knowing that the buyer will use it for something forbidden in Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also saying, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, that help one another towards righteousness and good deeds, and don't help one another towards evil and sin and transgression. So if somebody selling anything, any item, doesn't matter what it is, and he knows that this item, it could not be used for anything except the ma'asiyah and the disobedience of Allah, the earning is haram. The selling is haram, the buying is haram, the money that occurred out of this transaction is haram. And to give example, as example, people who are selling musical instruments, because musical instruments could not be used for anything except haram, because we understand that all musical instruments are forbidden Islamically. So for somebody, except the dog, for somebody to manufacture the musical instrument, doing something haram. For somebody to sell it, to buy it, to distribute it, he is involved in that haram. His case will be like the person who selling the grapes for somebody to take it and squeeze it and make wine out of it. Also, we give another example by somebody selling whipping to the kuffar, knowing that the kuffar will use this whipping to fight against the Muslim and kill the Muslim. And it's the obvious example that we see nowadays, that people who go and participate in the kuffar army, they will go and participate in the kuffar army, being part of it. Okay, regardless whatever their position, if they soldiers or if they guard the station or they work in communication, anything in the kuffar army. Why? Because this is a system for the kuffar against the Muslims. And even if the kuffar, they did not use these things against the Muslims, but they still using it unfairly against kuffar like them, still this is a system for the evil. Because you are not supposed to assist the evil kafir to do the haram, even if he will do this haram by himself. Neither is supposed to assist the kafir to transgress against anybody, even if he transgressing against a kafir like him, because transgression is haram by the law of Allah. So again, the hadith is weak, the meaning of the hadith is correct, and that we have to be careful of indulging in anything that is forbidden by Allah, to sell it, or to buy it, or to produce it, or to commercialize it, or to be in any kind of contribution in the process of such items. We will come back again to our subject today, and this is going to be starting from hadith number 692. This is a new chapter, chapter number 2, and this chapter is still under the same book of business and transaction. The new chapter today, chapter Babu al-Khiyar, Babu al-Khiyar, chapter 2, conditional bargain, page number 289. We're dealing with the first hadith in the chapter today, which is hadith number 692, عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا ابتاع رجلان فكل واحد منهما بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا وكانا جميعا أو يخير أحدهما الآخر فإن خير أحدهما الآخر فتبايعا على ذلك فقد وجب البيع وإن تفرقا بعد أن تبايع ولم يترك واحد منهما البيع فقد وجب البيع متفق عليه. This chapter today dealing with الخيار. خيار that you make that you give the other partner, not the other partner, the other person, the choice, okay? That means the buyer will give the seller a choice, or the buyer will give the seller the choice. Okay. The seller will give a choice to the buyer, or that the buyer will give a choice to the seller. Okay? So we have three things or four things involved for business transaction. You have a person who has a item. He has a
commodity.
The commodity. So this is one part. The person who owns this commodity is another part. The person who will buy this commodity, okay, this is another part, okay. The money that going to be transacted between them, so this is four things here, okay. So you have the buyer, and you have the seller, and you have the commodity, okay. So now that the buyer will give the seller a choice, okay, or the seller will give the buyer a choice. A choice about what? About the time involved, as an example. Okay? As we studied before, that it, you see, so this called khiyar, that means giving one of the other, okay, one of the two persons giving the other person a choice of keeping the commodity or returning back. Okay, is it understood? So this is the chapter that we're dealing with today. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that إذا بتاع رجلان, when two men involved in transaction, one selling and one buying, you still have the choice as long as they did not separate it from one another. Okay, let's see what he says. Both parties in business transaction have a right to
annul,
that means cancel, with another word, nullify. Yes. The bargain, so long as they have not separated and are together. Or one of them, he will make a condition, okay, to the other person. So if the other partner or the other person accepts the condition, now even if the third remaining is the same place, the business is final. Okay? The business of finance. Except he makes the condition to be a day, or I go to show it to the mechanic, or that I show it to my wife, okay? Whatever it is that he wants to make it a condition. And the seller has the right to accept or no. And the buyer has also the same right to accept or no. As soon as one of them makes the condition and the other person accepts it, now the deal is final according to this condition. So will be final when the term takes place. When is the 3 days left, as example. Or when they give the money, he takes the product in his hand, this is, because this was the condition. So whatever condition they made it, this is what we're talking about today, al-khiyar. For one of them tells the other to exercise his right and he does it. Then they make the bargain according to that. The transaction becomes then binding, or when they separate after having made the bargain and none of them has annulled it. The bargain becomes then binding. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Okay? The scholars, they have broken down different khiyar, different conditions, like the condition of sitting, the condition of time, the condition of, you see, and whatever condition they're making, as long as not making something haram or something halal and acceptable to both of them, this will be a conditional transaction, and as soon as the condition takes place, now this deal is final. If they did not make a condition, how is going the deal be final? I tell you what, you separate from your sitting or your gathering. You gave me the brother, I gave you the money, we did not make condition. The moment that I step out of here, this is, okay, binding on me as well as you. Nevertheless, we want to remind ourselves again with hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the last hadith that we discussed last week, with hadith number 691, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أقال مسلما بيعته أقال الله عصمته. And the hadith is authentic. That Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever accepts back what he has sold to a Muslim, Allah will forgive his fault. Okay? But this is not a must. It's out of your own goodness. Okay? That when your brother come, I say, yes, I know that the deal is final, but I really, after I pay you the money, now I have a flat tire, and I thought you understand I was going to fix it, but they told me I have to buy a new tire, and I don't have money. Do you think you can take this suitcase back and give me my $50? Yeah, you don't have to, but it's them encouraging you that when your Muslim brother come back with the product that he bought it, and he wants you to take it back, that you be kind, okay, and you try to accommodate him. And if you do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return this favor to you in the day of judgment. When you come with your faults, with your problems, Allah also will accept you and Allah will forgive you. The next hadith in our chapter for today, hadith number 693, is in page number 290. وعن عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البائع والمبتاع بالخيار حتى يتفرقا إلا أن تكون صفقة خيار ولا يحل له أن يفارقه خشية أن يستقيله. Okay. حديث الحسن. This hadith, which in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi and Nisa'i and Ahmad and Ad-Darqutni, the hadith reported by Amr ibn Sha'ib an Abi, may Allah be pleased with him, with them all. Safqa, okay, that a man put his hand in the other man's hand to promise that, like a sign of acceptance to the transaction, okay? Like what you call it in America, the shake hand, okay? Like somebody was in mega deal and he shake hand with one another, that means the deal is final. Let's have a shake hand over this, okay? So this is what you call safqa. Narrated Amr ibn Shu'aib an Abi an Jaddi, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the two parties in business transactions have a right to annul it, so long as they have not separated, unless it is a bargain with the right to annul. Again, the condition. So it's similar to the hadith that we just spoke, okay? So as long as you're sitting in the same garden, the same room, you have the right to what? To cancel this deal. Except what? If it's condition. What is the condition can be here? That I said, listen, you're buying this, and if you're buying now, it's final. Doesn't matter if I step out of here or no. Now, this is the condition. If the person accepts, the deal is final. Okay? But it's still Islam telling us what? And one has not the right to separate from the other for fear that he may demand that the bargain be
rescinded.
Okay, so again, how is Islam telling us that we have to be considerate? Yes, you make the bargain and you make it conditional, okay? So, don't take advantage of your Muslim brother. Although you make it a condition, I say, listen, if you pay $10 for this, this is the final deal, And if he gives me the money in my hand, the deal is final. He said, yes. He gives me the $10. And the next thing that to fly out of the room. You see? Why? Because that you're afraid that the man, by the time he look and think about it again, he says, oh man, I can buy two for $10. Why a pay thing? You see? And so you understand, always Islam try to, you have to be, try to be better. Okay? Try to be the older brother, like they say, okay? Be the big brother. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 694. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال ذكر رجل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يخدع في البيع في البيوع فقال إذا بايعت فقل لا خلابة متفق عليه. Okay. ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrated this hadith. This hadith in collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhim. That this man, whenever he go in a bargain or making a deal or making a business transaction, he used to be fooled or deceived by the seller. Okay, so he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that when you go to deal with business transaction, say to what? When you make a bargain, say, deceiving is not allowed. Okay? That means like a condition again. I'm taking it with the condition that is not deceiving. Okay? So now, if you make this condition with the seller, you're a buyer, you make this condition with the seller, you take the commodity, the car, the book, whatever, the food, you take it home and you go, and you see something wrong with it, you have the right to come and bring it back. Okay? You have the right to bring it back. So this hadith is giving us the permissibility, or teaching us the permissibility of using the condition in our bargain, saying that is no cheating. Okay? That it would give you the right as a buyer if you found defects or cheating that you will return the commodity. Also, the hadith is showing us that the transaction that has deceiving, is bonding or is okay, but still Islam doesn't encourage it. Okay? And there is a difference between something minor and something major. Okay? So, there is, sometimes in most cases, you will find something, but you could not have something like perfect, you understand, like 100%. Okay? So, regardless that the buyer knows it or he doesn't know. But it tells it not the manner of Islam, and Islam doesn't encourage this. So if I stole it, you understand, I stole the pencil, and you know it's a pencil, but you expect it, as soon as you start to use it, it's going to rise. So now you find the pen is broken, the head of the pen is broken, the tip of the pencil is broken. Now I will take, you understand, for you, that you found sharpener, okay, to use it. Or that you have to keep what you call filing a pill, start using it. It has some defect, minor, okay? The bargain or the contract is still acceptable, okay? But does not mean that Islam encourages it, okay? We'll go inshallah to another chapter, and this is a new chapter under business transaction, and this talks about usury or interest. Which some people they make a difference between usury and interest, okay? But basically we have a word used in Arabic here, which are riba, okay? Riba, linguistic speaking, means increase, okay? Increase in the item itself, or increasing as a result of some money, okay? As example, to give $1 for $2, okay? This is called increasing. You give him one, you sell him $1, and he buys for $2. Or you lend him $1, and he return it to you $2. This is called increasing. This was the increasing called riba. The matter of usury or interest, riba, is very, very serious in Islam. It's very serious. And so, I can say that almost the worst thing can be committed after appreciating partner beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and neglecting the salah. I could not see anything else, okay, can be worse than this. To such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talked about the seriousness of usury or dealing with the usury or what's the other word, interest, okay, he said, if you don't give up dealing with it, be ready for a war between you, Allah, and His Messenger. So the individual or the family or the society, they're dealing with usury, eating the usury, giving the usury, they're going to be in a war. There is a war between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if somebody in a war between Allah and His Messenger, they never going to succeed, even if they have all the money. They could not win. No way they can profit. The first hadith that we have it in chapter number 3, usury, which is page number 290, hadith number 695. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا وموكله وكاتبه وشاهديه وقال هم سواء. رواه مسلم وللبخاري نحوه. This hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, as well as in Bukhari with slight different narration close to it. So the hadith is authentic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, La'ana رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا. But the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed the one who eats usury. That means he accepted. Because you take the usury and you buy the food, whatever it is, so you eat it, you receive it. Call the eater of the usury, okay? The person who receives it. And Muwakkiluhu is the person who gave it. Okay? The person who gave it. Doesn't matter the giver is individual or an institution. Okay? So individual, you go to somebody and you borrow money from him. Or that you go to an institution like the bank. Okay? And you borrow from... Okay? And you borrow from them. So the giver of the usury also been cursed. Doesn't matter if he's one or more. Doesn't matter if he's individual or institution. The receiver and the giver of usury. And also the witnesses, those who were recorded, the notary, the person who signed it, who approved it, okay, like you have officer to approve the loan, you have a notary notarize it, you have a person to check the signature, you have a person to be a witness, okay? That means whosoever involved to process it, okay? So there is one going to give, and there is one going to take, or there is some, more than one person going to give, and some that more than one person going to receive, and there is other people involved to process it. In what form and formality going to process it, if it's one or more, all of them are involved. And all of them going to be cursed by Allah and cursed by His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So usury is one of the major sins. And doesn't matter if the person giving it, or taking it, or writing it, or watching it, witnessing it, or helping to process it by any means, even if you sweeping and cleaning this area. Because the people are not going to do business in a dirty first place, okay? So people who mopping the floor in the bank also, they are getting this. The smoke of the entrance, at least. The security guard who is standing there. The people who commercialize it. Even the person who wear a t-shirt, say C&S Bank as a example. Because he commercialized it indirectly. They did not understand, love you giving you a t-shirt for free. They gave it for free, but they bought their names of their bank. So when you wear it and you walk in the street, you are commercializing their bank. Okay? So anybody who relates to the interest by any means, directly or indirectly, he is involved in the usury. And let's see the next hadith, which is page number 291. And this hadith number 696 or 696, depends what version you have from the book. Hadith number 696 عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الربا 73 بابا أيسرها مثل أن ينكح الرجل أمه وإن أرض الربا عرض الرجل المسلم رواه ابن ماجه مختصرا والحاكم بتمامه وصححه. This hadith is the collection of Imam ibn Majah and al-Hakim, and the hadith is authentic. The hadith is reported by Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, what the meaning is, usually the 73 branches, the different types of usury, okay? Usury has 70 three categories. The least, okay, like if you're talking about six, the least in sin of this 73, the least, the lowest that you get out of sin dealing with usury, that means if you are not the giver, if you are not the taker, if you are not the one who can witness, if you are not, maybe understand you only do something small, minor, like I say, a person who's sweeping the floor. The least sin that he gets is equal to a man committing adultery with his own mother. This is the least. Can you imagine a person who eating the usury, clear-cut usury, no doubt about it, giving and taking? The least person, the smallest portion of sin that involved in the usury is equal to a sin of a man committing adultery with his own mother. Not committing adultery with any woman, no, with his own mother. You know how serious it is. Okay. The adultery itself is haram. Can you imagine if somebody will commit adultery with his own mother? Huh? And the very essence of usury is violation of the honor of a male Muslim. Somebody curse you, you curse him and you curse his father. He curse you, your father, you curse him and his father and his mother. You see? We understand Islamically that you can eye by eye. Okay? Now when your Muslim brother, you talk about him bad, with no right, especially talking about his family or about his honor, this is something very, very serious. Okay? Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us this is a type of usury and this is worse than any other usury. This shows us that the honor of the Muslim is protected, is honored, respected, and that we shouldn't be backbiting each other, slandering each other, talking about others, try to defame others and put people down, or try even to curse them more than what they curse us. Because now this will be usually. He cursed you once, now he cursed him twice. Okay? So it was not easy, but with more. Okay? Because we said that usury or interest is what? To increase, to have more. Right? وَإِنَّ أَرْضَ الرِّبَى عِرْضُ الرَّجُلِ The honor of the Muslim. Okay? Because this means it's something very serious. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 697. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تبيع الذهب بالذهب إلا مثلا بمثل ولا تشف بعضها على بعض ولا تبيع الورق بالورق إلا مثلا بمثل ولا تشف بعضها على بعض ولا تبيع منها غائبا بناجز. This hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic. The hadith is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the selling of gold for a gold unless it is the same amount, for the same amount, equal gold with the gold. equal amount, equal amount. 10 grams, 10 grams. And don't make one amount greater than the other. Somebody say this is gold coming from Arabia. And this is gold coming from America. Okay? No. You still have to say gold by gold. Gold by gold. You could not take 10 grams of gold. You could not have 10 grams of gold and take 12 grams of gold from me. You give me 10 grams, I give you 10 grams. Okay? The same thing applies to the silver. Okay? Don't sell silver. Don't sell silver for silver unless it is the same amount. And don't make one amount greater than the other. And don't sell for ready money sum. Of it to be given later. Okay? You could not sell 10 grams of gold. Okay? With 10 grams of gold later on. Okay? It has to be in the same price. With 10 grams later can be a different price. Okay, so when you're selling gold by gold, it has to be an equal amount and to be in the same time. When you're selling silver, buying silver, you give him the same equal amount of silver in the same time. You could not say, I buy 10 grams of silver with 12 grams of silver of yours. Neither you can buy 10 grams of silver and I pay you 10 grams of silver after a month. Okay? Alright? So, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbidding both kind of usury. Rebel part and riba al-nasi'ah. Riba al-fadl, that is selling one with greater amount of the other. And riba al-nasi'ah, the other kind of usury that is selling is something for a later. And you pay later for it. Okay, you could not do this in this kind of material. Gold by gold in the same size. The same amount. Silver by silver. The same amount in the same time. And the hadith is authentic. The next hadith will show us more items that will involve in the usury, or that you could not fill it with a greater amount. This hadith number 698 and Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء يدا بيد فإذا اختلفت هذه الأصناف فبيعوا كيف شئتم إذا كان يدا بيد رواه مسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying in this hadith, which is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Ubadah ibn Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what the meaning is, gold is to be paid for with gold, silver with silver, wheat with wheat, barley with barley, dates with dates, and salt with salt. Same quantity for same quantity, and equal for equal. payment being made on the spot. If these prices differ, pay as you wish. If payment is made on the spot. Okay? So now, I could not say to you this salt, Alexandria salt. Okay? This Melh Rashidi and this Egyptian salt. Okay? I take 1 kilo with 1.5 kilos. No. 1 kilo salt, 1 kilo salt. Okay? Barley, wheat. 1 amount to 1 amount on the spot. 5 grams gold, 5 grams gold. Okay? 10 ounces of silver, 10 ounces of silver. Dates. This is all dates, and this is fresh dates. Still. 1 pound by 1 pound. Or 1 kilo by 1 kilo. Or 1 measurement with the equal measurement. Okay? Equal payment, equal amount. But if the price is different, I'm buying gold with salt, buying silver by gold, I'm buying dates by barley. This is not the same now. Okay? This is 6 items here. You could not increase the amount. Okay? You could not increase the amount. But if any buying one by the other, now can be a different as long as you don't need it in the spot. So I'm selling 1 gram of gold with 10 pounds of salt. Okay? So I'm paying for 10 pounds of salt, 1 gram of gold. And I'm going to give you the gram now. I take the salt now. Why? This is 2 different classes. Okay? So is 10 pounds or 100 pounds of salt or date, and I'm giving you 1 gram of gold or silver. It's okay. Okay? Why? Because the class is different, the price is different, and the bargain is done and cash on the spot. Okay? I mean cash, that means whatever item that you're giving as a price for what you buy. So we understand that usually it will take place in these 6 classes or 6 types. Gold, silver, dates, salt, barley, wheat. That we could not buy the same class or the same type of thing with the other with more, because this would be usury. We can increase if 2 different types of materials that we're using, if I can use this term, as long as we're giving it on the spot. Like I said, gold, and he's giving you salt. Dates, and he's giving you silver. Barley, and he's giving you dates. Okay? Now, you can increase. What I increase? I take 10 pounds of barley for 5 pounds of dates. Okay? Alright.
It's up to the people making the...
Yeah, we're going to make it, you understand?
So you don't have to sell the same, I can sell to somebody else for 10 pounds and get 4.
This is your business. Mm-hmm. Is what you call... according to some people, the market is mm-hmm. as long as mm-hmm. 2 different things mm-hmm. from these 6 things. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you giving me whatever you're giving as paying for what I'm giving you mm-hmm. on the spot. Now I'm going to buy 10 pounds of this from you with 1 gram of silver. Mm-hmm. I can go and buy 10 pounds of this from him with 1/2 gram of silver. Mm-hmm. Okay? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The next hadith hadith number 699 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذهب بالذهب وزنا بوزن مثلا بمثل والفضة بالفضة وزنا بوزن مثلا بمثل فمن زاد أو استزاد فهو ربا. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said gold by gold, same weight, equal amount. Silver by silver, same weight, same equal weight. Even anybody who increase or ask for increase will be what? Will be usury. Will be usury. So you could not give more, neither you can ask more, or otherwise you'll be involved in usury. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gold is to be paid for with gold, both being of equal weight and the same quantity. Silver is to be paid for with silver, both being of equal weight and of the same quantities. If anyone gives more or asks for more of it, it is then usury. So now you will be dealing with haram. Hadith number 700 عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه and Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam استعمل رجلا على خيبر فجاءه بتمر جنيد or جنيد فقال رسولullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أكل تمر خيبر هكذا فقال لا فقال لا والله يا رسول الله إنا لنأخذ الصاع من هذا بالصاعين والثلاثة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تفعل بع الجمع بالدراهم ثم ابتع بالدراهم جنيبا وقال في الميزان مثل ذلك متفق عليه ولمسلم وكذلك الميزان. Okay, this man who came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم whom the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم had put him in a charge, okay, in Khaybar. Alright? So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with good dates. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him, is all the dates of the town of Khaybar like this? He said, no, Prophet of Allah, we buy one sa' to two sa' or three sa'. Okay? He said, no, it's not all the dates like this. But we make a bargain. We take one measurement of this and we buy two and sometimes three of the other kind because this is the best kind. The other one is not that good. Okay? It's not a brand name, whatever you want to call it. So the Prophet told him, no, you could not do this. Alright? You sell this one with whatever. And after you get your cash, now you can go with the cash, buy from the good date, whatever amount that you can buy. Okay? So, as example, I will sell 3 pounds of this less quality date for 2 grams of gold. Okay? Now with the 2 grams, after I sell it and have my 2 grams of gold, now with the 2 grams of gold, I can go do what? Buy from the good date. Now whatever the 2 grams of good date going to give me from the good date, this is what it is. Okay? But you could not buy this by date by date. If you buy this by date, you have to do what? The same amount. The same amount, equal. Okay? The same amount and equal on the spot. Otherwise, will be what? Would be usury, would be interest. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him you could not do this. This hadith is authentic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from narrations that reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed a man over Khaybar, and he brought him dates of a very fine quality. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, are all the dates of Khaybar like this? He replied, I swear by Allah that they are certainly not. O Allah's Messenger, we take one sa', as I said, this is like a measurement. One sa' of this kind for two. That means one sa' of the good date for what? For two of the less quality. And even for three, that means sometimes. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't do so. Sell the mixed date for dirhams. Okay, with the money, with the gold. Then buy the very fine dates with the mix, with the dirhams. And he said that the same applies when things are sold by weight. Same thing applies to things what? Sold by weight. Okay? So this doesn't apply only for things that you measure. So if they sell in these things by weight, kilo, so it will be what? 1 kilo by 1 kilo. Otherwise, you could not give him 2 kilo of this rice, okay, and get 2 kilos of the other rice. You won't buy the good fine rice, sell 2 pounds of this rice. Get the cash, take the cash and go buy the basmati rice, as example. Whatever this cash will buy from the basmati rice, it's your business. But you could not, in measurements and weight, you could not buy the same kind with what? With more. Otherwise will be what? Will be usury. The next hadith عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الصبرة من التمر لا يعلم مكيالها بالكيل المسمى من التمر. That hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه. So the hadith is authentic. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the selling of the quantity of dates which you don't call sabra, that means like a pile, okay? The people come and bought it on top of each other, became like a small pyramid, or you call it pile, is it? Mm-hmm. So he forbade to sell a pile of dates with a measured date. I say to you, how much you buy this pile of dates? He say, I give you 2 pounds of this day. I say, okay. No, you could not do this. Because you don't know how many pounds in this pile. You see? So you could not do this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade saying a quantity of dates whose measure was unknown for specific quantity of dates. For another date, that the quantity is known. Okay? Because this also will be usury, will be riba. Okay? This is a lot, maybe 5 pounds, and this is 2 pounds. So take this pile and measure it or weigh it, and now you take the same amount from the other day. You don't like it and say, no, this is better date and this is bad quality. You go sell this, get the money, and after this buy the other day. Otherwise will be what? Will be usury. Hadith number 702 عن معمر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما رضي الله تعالى عنه قال إني كنت أسمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الطعام بالطعام مثلا بمثل وكان طعامنا يومئذ الشعير. This hadith reported by معمر, and the hadith is authentic. It is in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. There's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, food for food of the same quantity. The narrator of the hadith, he said, our food at that time consists of barley. Okay? And as we said, sha'ir of barley is one of the things, of the six things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it had to be what? Salt the same amount. Okay? Equal to equal. On the spot. Okay? So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at-ta'am food to be sold to the equal amount of food. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. The next hadith, which hadith number 703, وعن فضالة ابن عبيد الله ابن عبيد رضي الله تعالى عنه قال اشتريت يوم خيبر قلادة باثنى عشر دينارا فيها ذهب وخرز ففصلتها فوجدت فيها اكثر من اثنى عشر دينارا فذكرت ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لا تباعوا حتى تفصل. Fudala, may Allah be pleased with him, he bought in the day of Khaybar, after the battle of Khaybar, leaflet. And he bought it with 12 dinar. And in this necklace was gold as well as stones. You know, there is a special stone, what you call this... It's not like a stone, what you found in the street. You know what?
Gem?
Yeah. Gemstone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like diamonds.
Yes, diamonds and things like this. Okay. He says that, and after this I separated the gold from the diamonds or from the stones, the expensive stones, and I found that it has more than 12 dinar. He bought it with what? He bought it with 12 dinars. And he, how much gold he found in it? 12 dinars plus the stone. You see? And he found in it more than 12. So what happened here? He bought gold with other gold and he got more. Plus, he got the stone there. So he went and he informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told him not to be sold until you separate it. So you have to know how many dinars in it, because the dinar is gold, okay, that time. And that you sell it according what? If it's more than 12, if you have 15 dinar, you sell it with what? 15 dinar of gold. And now you sell the stones what? Separate. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. Narrated Fudala, may Allah be pleased with him, I bought a necklace for 12 dinars at the Battle of Khaybar, and there were gold and gems in it. So I considered them separately, and I found that it was worth more than 12 dinars. I told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that, and he said, it must not be sold till the contents are considered separately. Okay? That means you have to separate the gold from the gems, and after this you sell the gold by itself by gold, and you can sell the others with whatever that you want to sell. This is hadith سمرة ابن جندب رضي الله تعالى عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع الحيوان بالحيوان نسيئة. اوكي رواه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي وابن جرود. This hadith reported by سمرة ابن جندب and the hadith is صحيح لغيره, that is sound as a result of other narration, is not صحيح by itself but as a support for other hadith. And the hadith in collection of Imam Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Ibn al-Jarud. And as I said, the hadith is sahih al-ghayri. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade selling animals for animals when payment was to be made at a later date. Okay? You sell me this camel and I will pay you later. By camel. Okay? But how big the other camel? Okay, because later, how big the other camel is not threatened. You see? So, here, this will be involved some kind of deceiving, or usury, or something is not known to the buyer. So now, I'm telling you this camel, which is 1 year old. Even if you're going to get me a camel 1 year old later on, how big it is. The age is known, but one camel 1 year old is maybe 500 pounds and the other one 600 pounds. You see? So here is not for, so the Prophet ﷺ had forbade to sell a camel or a cow to a cow paying later. But if you have a camel on front of a camel, you see this camel, I give you this camel, give me this camel, it's okay. But now you give me a camel for now, I pay you later by camel, but later this could not be done. So the Prophet ﷺ forbid the selling of animals for animals when payment was to be made at a later date. The hadith number 705, and inshallah, this is going to be the last hadith, at least for now. For Salat al-Maghrib, inshallah, because the brothers in Washington, they have to break for Salah, and I think we also have to break. Mm-hmm. Maghrib is in? Okay. Then, okay, we'll stop here inshallah because this is this hadith will be a little bit longer and we'll see if we continue after Maghrib or not inshallah. Subhanallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah there is a possibility, we'll try to alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Inshallah we'll continue with hadith number 705 for page number 293. الحديث reported by ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا تبايعتم بالعينة وأخذتم أذناب البقر ورضيتم بالزرع وتركتم الجهاد سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. This hadith is reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, as well as his father. And the hadith is authentic. That Ibn Umar narrated, he said, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, what the meaning is, when you will sell anything on credit to anyone on the condition that you will buy it back for a lower price, follow the cattle, prepare the grapples, and give up jihad, will make disgrace prevail over you and will not strip it off from you till you return to your religion. إذا تبايعتم بالعينة, العينة which is a form of transaction forbidden in Islam, and this is a type of usury. And he has gave one example of it, that you sell your product for a price for the person to pay it later, and after this you turn back to buy the same product from the buyer for less price. Okay, so I will sell you my car for $5,000 for you to pay me later, $5,000. And now, after you accept this transaction, I buy the car from you for $3,000. I give you the cash. Okay, so this is called عينة, because العين لزالت أو ترد على صاحبها. You call عينة because you buy the same thing that you just sold it for less price, and the man, he got some money so he can take care of his business, and same time he sell all you $2,000. Okay, there is a different type of عينة, but basically it's the transaction dealing with usury and interest. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it happened to be your condition, you Muslims, that you dealing with each other, dealing in usury and transaction, وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ, that you follow the tails of the cows, that means buying, selling cattle and things like this. Okay, وَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ, that you became content and satisfied with cultivation. That means the Muslim became his major concern is this life. Business and making money. This is what it is. If it's in a form of cultivation, okay, which is plantation and harvest, or in a form of selling and transaction, which is selling cattle, okay, became millionaire, became a businessman, became rich, so became this is your main concern. And he made it very clear by saying what? وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ, that you're neglecting, striving in the cause of Allah by fighting the enemies of Allah. So now, you're dealing with usury. You're content with this life. You neglect your main obligation of da'wah and fighting fi sabilillah. What's going to be the result? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make disgrace prevail over you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alaykum dhullan, humiliation, disgrace you, put you down. Okay? That will prevail over you, and this will situation will continue to be with you until you come back to your religion. Until you come back to your religion. From this hadith, we see the seriousness of dealing with usury and neglecting the jihad, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory, and your main concern became this worldly life and what is going to be the result of this. Thank you. I was looking at it. I see what's heading to the book. The next hadith, which hadith number 7, 106 and page number 294. وعن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من شفع لأخيه شفاعة فأهدى له هدية عليها فقبلها فقد أتى بابا عظيما من أبواب الربا. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والحديث حسن إن شاء الله. From the authority of Abu Umama, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what the meaning is: whosoever intercedes for his brother and that one gives him a present which he accepts, becomes guilty of a serious type of usury. Okay? Shafa'a, you can see, you go before the ruler, the emir, or the chief of the tribe, and you ask him, forgive this man, or give him his property back, or whatever it is, that you try to intercede, not for breaking the orders of Allah, but you try to go to somebody who is in higher authority, asking him to be kind to this man, or to be good to him, or not to punish him unjustly, or whatever it is. This is your job as a Muslim towards your Muslim brother. And you are not supposed to do this except for the sake of Allah. It's